The Lord be with you. Well, here we are at the tail end of the Christmas season, 2025. Next week, all of these candles and decorations will be taken down, and we'll be done singing Christmas carols. I don't know how that makes you feel. Maybe you'll be anxious for next year to come again. And for the Advent and the Christmas season, we've spent some weeks with those birth stories and infancy stories from Luke and Matthew's gospel. But tomorrow is Epiphany, folks. Because today, as it happens, is one of those Sundays where this Sunday is actually the 12th and final day of Christmas. And as the calendar falls this year, the lectionary has primed the Epiphany pomp with the prologue to John's gospel. To say that this is a unique bit of scripture is really an understatement, because John chapter 1 is tight and carefully worded. It's a body of text that's poetic and it's philosophical. It's strange and it's mysterious. And theologically speaking, it's one of the most important passages of scripture in the whole Christian tradition. People have made their whole life's work arguing through and sorting out the layers and implications of John chapter 1. For the church, our whole understanding of Christ's identity, for our practice of faith and the shape of our lives together, land on this passage of Scripture. And so much Christian spirituality rests on these verses, because this is the text that pulls back the curtain of the universe and shows us the Word become flesh. But I'm already getting ahead of myself. I'll back up for a few beats. For comparison, let's just consider Mark's gospel. If you open up Mark's gospel and you start reading it, he drops the reader into the thick of it with John the Baptist quoting Isaiah, "A voice calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight the paths for him." And early readers might have reasonably asked, prepare the way for who exactly? And so, a little later, with good reason, Matthew and Luke took pains to make even more connections. Both of those gospels open with genealogies. These are careful lists of names of Jesus' ancestors with their own editorial flair. Those writers took some poetic license, and they took pains to set the Galilean who they knew in the company of surprising characters and key personalities in the Hebrew story. People in the prophetic tradition and the story of hope for a people. And these genealogies were masterfully written. You may have even heard a preacher sometime or another preach a story on one of those genealogies, and it's a surprisingly fun ride that you can have with that list of names. And they're a treat because of the ways that those personalities and those names express the breadth and the reach of God's tenderness and mercy. But John's gospel is built different. And here, setting up an answer for prepare the way for who exactly? Well, that one takes on a whole other scale. The camera in John's gospel zooms way out. Why not start at the very beginning? In the beginning, the first verses of Genesis and the creation story as a backdrop. John just doesn't locate Jesus in the story of a people. This passage reveals Christ in the story of the whole of creation. John's gospel eye view of the universe, the first moments of existence, and the creative force of the universe in its primal moments. The architect of gravity and space and time and the laws of thermodynamics. The first photons scattering out across the cosmos. The unthinkable power of black holes and quasars, and the first bursts of shape and form and color, and atoms crushed together in the hearts of stars, and those stars exploding to scatter the nutrients and the minerals of life. Planets and moons and water and air and beams of sunlight, the spark of life and cells and mitochondria and flagella and photosynthesis. Amniotic fluid and heartbeats, and the first gasps of breath, and consciousness, and culture, peoples. Before any civilization, before any religion, before Moses and Elijah, before every philosopher or poet or psalmist, before there were astronomers or biologists or language or even DNA, before all of it, before there was a Hebrew people or any people for that matter, before the entire tragedy and comedy of the human race, in the beginning was the Word, the Creator of the universe. Prepare the way for who again? For the one who brought all things into being. The writer borrows some language from Greek philosophy, using the Word as a way to personify here in John's Genesis moment, the maker of everything, presenting for us an image of a being beyond our comprehension. Who can wrap a mortal mind around the whole of creation? Who can understand an eternal creator, the vastness and complexity of our universe in all of its astonishing wonder? Our temporal littleness, people like us, bound by space and time, and frail decline, and too few days. Where were we when our Creator laid the earth's foundation? And what can we say to the cosmic story? What can we add to the question of what there was before there was even anything at all? And what could this immeasurable being have to do with any of us? And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And those few words hang this theological term, the incarnation. It's a central theme of the Christian faith. God becoming flesh. Not God trying on some skin, not God dabbling with the body. God becoming flesh. That same immeasurable being, the eternal Word becoming a part of our reality, joining the mess of it all with the rest of us, joining space and time and human history, living, breathing, flesh and bone and blood and sweat. As John says, this one lived among us with an address, a workplace, in the mix with neighbors and friends and politics and social pressures and death and taxes, family and friends and all the associated joys and challenges. Our imprecise human way of communicating, failing to understand or misunderstanding one another completely. A person constrained by the limitations and the pains of this fragile fleshly form. Limbs that weary, lungs that need air, joys and aches and pains. This is the shape that the author of creation took. Our shape, intimate and human. The Creator, one with us creatures. The implications of this are everything for the Christian faith. The shape that God took reaching across the universe of space and time to us is human. This is the flesh and form that we so intimately and personally know and understand so well. It's safe to say that a lot of us in this room might classify ourselves as spiritual seekers, looking for a connection with a reality, that which is beyond us or above us. We look with wonder to the heavens. We ask for truth and beauty, mystery, guidance, comfort. We long to know our Maker's intentions, our true purpose, our vital connection to reality. Friends, the heavens have come to us. God becoming flesh forms the shape of our spiritual journey. Christ among us is grounded, embodied, weeping, laughing. It's simple and it's hungry, and sometimes it's thirsty and cold and sleepy and lonely and tired. Our spiritual journey looks like embracing and eating and resting and sharing, and sometimes it looks like walking in the sun. And it's complicated. With our first breaths and our last gasps and everything in between. This fleshy mass of us is the space in the universe. This is the place where we live and receive the grace of God. We are flesh and blood children of God. We know the Word made flesh in the journey of these, our bodies, as strange as that sounds. I did mention earlier a line about Christ joining the mess of it all with the rest of us. Because these first verses of John's Gospel also speak to the reality of life in this world of flesh and humanity. Okay, John doesn't call it a mess, but mixing metaphors with the additional themes of light and darkness, he brings a poetic image, an evocative image, light and dark. The gospel writer is emphatic. The cosmic human Word made flesh journey for us all, it's an intervention for a troubled creation. It's hope for our wounded communities. It's comfort for our aching hearts. There is darkness in this world. None of us need an explanation about what this means. We need only look around. We need only look in our own hearts. But our Maker is the enlightening one, the true light coming into the world. Word become flesh. And our faith takes shape as we carry the light of Christ into dark places. And naturally, this pursuit is fleshy and human and local and real. The saints in history knew this. With simple works of generosity and kindness, they were vulnerable, they were intimate, they were mortal and fragile. Sometimes they were clumsy and sweaty. We'll make a mess of it sometimes. This all takes practice. And it comes with a lot of unlearning because of so many lessons of shame in a world that degrades and commodifies the shape and size and color and utility of our bodies. But your blessed body is your context. This flesh is the venue of your redemption as a child of God. For a community of people in this walk of faith together, a people like this one, this looks like seeking opportunities to embody the light of Christ. Ours is the task of dreaming up creative and brave ways of taking care of one another, usually beginning with very simple and practical needs. honoring and caring for our fellow cosmic travelers in flesh. The author Cole Arthur Riley puts it this way: to be human in an aching world is to know our dignity and to become people who safeguard the dignity of everyone around us. This work guides us and it shapes us. And with it, we are people who keep in mind physical human needs. Practical. Feeding, clothing, housing, caring for people. This work is all around us. For folks like us, this will look like a church coming to terms with what it means time and again as we take up space with a building on a street in a troubled city. As Dawn said this morning with the children, it means caring for our neighbors, sharing what we have. We will know seasons and days. We will celebrate first cries. We will honor last breaths. In this embodied work, we will find friends. We will struggle together. We'll eat together, we'll share, we'll rest, we'll work, we'll play, we'll sing, and we'll dance. In this life of flesh, may we bear the light of Christ. In these bodies, we will see the Word made flesh. Amen. Thanks be to God.